This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Over 2,000 are now dead from the earthquake in Morocco. Here's CBS's Heliot.
Friday's massive 6.8 magnitude earthquake sent people fleeing into the streets as buildings cracked and crumbled around them. Canadian tourist Jana Meerman was visiting Marrakesh and felt the ground shake.
There are fears of aftershocks, so we're trying to see what happens next.
With thousands dead and injured, for many, the hope is that the toll doesn't get worse.
President Biden is now in Vietnam. BBC's Laura Bicker on what's on the agenda for his meeting with the Vietnamese communist chief.
There are also talks of perhaps even more exchange of military arms deals, for instance, and perhaps including Vietnam in the semiconductor supply chain. All of this for the United States, for Washington, is to try to de-risk from China. It's trying to encourage more businesses to come to the likes of Vietnam.
All eyes have been on Lee for a few days now, and while the storm has weakened to a Category 2, Lisa Bucci with the National Hurricane Center tells us
it's expected to slow down over the southwest Atlantic over the next couple of days. And then beginning about Wednesday, we're expecting it to make a turn towards the north and begin to accelerate.
It is still all hands on deck in the search for an escaped convict in Pennsylvania. KYW's Nikki Dementri with the latest on the manhunt for Danilo Cavalcante.
The perimeter Saturday has shifted once again. Gina Dezio lives on Baltimore Pike.
Out my window, you can see they're back on the right-hand side.
Dezio says except for a coffee run and to walk her dog, she's staying in her house until Cavalcante is back in custody.
It's nerve-wracking.
Off to the U.S. Open now, where Coco Gauff has won her first Grand Slam title. She's only 19 years old and was able to overcome some early setbacks for the win.
She's so young. She's such a good role model. She is so grounded. I'm so excited for her. Congratulations, Coco. We love you.
She's the first American teen to win the tournament since Serena Williams did back in 1999. So what's the most dangerous city in America? Crime risk assessment company Security Gauge looked at data on violent crimes and found the most dangerous place is Bessemer, Alabama. It's recently experienced a spike in physical violence, property crime, and motor vehicle theft. Monroe, Louisiana, took the top spot last year. Now it's number 2 on the list. It has one of the highest murder rates in the United States. Memphis, Tennessee, and Saginaw, Michigan tied as the third most dangerous city in the country. This is CBS News.
At Staples, school savings are always in session. From art supplies and essentials to the latest tech, in stock and priced low. School on, save on at your local Staples store.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A group of U.S. House Republicans wants $4 billion in cuts to the Environmental Protection Agency in exchange for their votes against a government shutdown later this month. Environmentalists say that would jeopardize efforts to eliminate PFAS pollution. Mark Richardson reports.
Betsy Sutherland, a former EPA staffer who worked on water issues, says this isn't the time to play politics with cleaning up the environment.
Budget cuts will have real consequences for EPA's ability to protect human health and the environment, not just from PFAS, but from every environmental threat our country is facing.
These chemicals are among the most persistent toxic compounds in existence, contaminating everything from drinking water to food, packaging, and personal care products. And they never break down in the environment. Neighboring Michigan has among the highest rates in the country. A bill in the House Appropriations Committee, which funds the EPA, proposes cutting the agency's budget by more than one-third in fiscal year 2024. Sutherland says if the measure is approved, EPA funding would plummet to levels unseen in three decades.
The cuts are incredibly short-sighted. 2 weeks ago, EPA released PFAS monitoring data for 2,000 drinking water systems that show multiple PFAS chemicals are in the drinking water of over 26 million people.
John Reeder with the Environmental Working Group says most PFAS emanate from the air emissions of industrial plants. He says the group's federal PFAS report card found these chemicals in all 50 states, but industrial regions like the upper Midwest had the most sites.
We hope that Congress is listening. Budget cuts for EPA as well as DOD's cleanup program have real consequences and would likely delay protection for millions of people exposed to PFAS.
I'm Mark Richardson. Find our 8 trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Oh, it is us, Tim and Johnny. We are back, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Oh, if you were paying attention last week, I did education squared as opposed to cubed. Anya made me go, Tim, what are you doing, dude? E-E-E, that's E cubed, not E squared. We are back. It was, here we are in Ohio, a little bit of a power outage. I don't know if there was just too much heat around here and the air conditioners kind of kicked everything off, but we are, we're back here in Ohio. Johnny's in Washington. Great guest tonight. We're going to get into this. Johnny, though, check it out. Did you ever really, I love this opening. How can I grow up to study parallel universes? John, did you ever wonder that, Johnny?
No, I didn't. I didn't wonder it. I might be a bad case just because I kind of was in my own universe most of those early years in schools, and any of my teachers can, testify to that. I just kind of creatively floated through it. But reading this, and I'm excited to talk about it tonight, because it made sense to why I ended up with an advanced degree in mathematics and physics and thinking about the world as an early career teacher. I did. Mm. I had some real freedom and creativity and diversity in what I was learning. And we're going to get into this because I saw the title and I read it and I was like, this is cool. And then I got in and I was like, wait, this is really cool.
Yeah.
So let's just dive into it tonight.
Our return guest, Dr. Ethan Siegel, as we like to say, Busted Pencils' own astrophysicist. Ethan, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm everyone's favorite kind of astrophysicist, the kind who can show up for free, not the money cost kind.
Show up for free, and as we've wrangled him in, we're going to get him at 7 o'clock on Thursday morning for the extended pod, because we are just going to touch the surface of this. So, Ethan, your piece on bigthink.com, Ask Ethan, how can I grow up to study parallel universes? Astrophysicists, people are like, this is education, Busted Pencils. But we've had Ethan on before because he makes these connections. And in this piece, here it is, how to study parallel universes, of which you accomplish telling people how to do that. And at the same time, put out a very great cautionary tale. And at the same time, give really awesome advice about what to do in the future if you're sitting there wondering, what am I going to do with my future? I've now entered 8th grade. I've now entered 9th grade. What am I going to do? Ethan, give us a little bit, though. I mean, what spurred the how can I study parallel universes?
Well, look, people get curious all the time, right? They want to grow up. They want to do something. They hear about something, and they're like, that's interesting. I want to study that. I want to learn more about that. What jumped out at me is, every Friday I write a column based on questions that people send in from the general public. And I got this question from someone who was going into 9th grade, and I was appalled. I was appalled to see that this person prefaced their question with, I have taken computer science as my career choice for high school as I'm about to enter the ninth grade. And I went, holy crap, we're making ninth graders do what now? Choose a career path at age 13, 14, 15 when you're in ninth grade? Do you know how many people who start college don't know what they're going to major in? Do you know how many people who start grad school don't know what they're going to study and focus on? Or alternatively, for either of those, how many people think they're going to do something and they start doing it and go, oh, actually, I don't think that is what I want to do. I better do something else, not just in school, but in their 20s, 30s, 40s, throughout their life. Why do we think it's a good idea to make kids specialize so early to close off these other options to them when you're a teenager, especially, you should be focusing on how to grow your brain, how to make connections between different things, and you should be learning how to learn about the world. Why are we making them specialize? So yeah, I'm happy to tell you, if you want to study parallel universes, here's what you do. Here's how you grow up and study parallel universes. Here's all the stuff you need to learn. But wouldn't you at least say, Jesus Christ, don't specialize to the exclusion of every other option? And also, to those of you out there, come on, seriously, think about it. How many people of you out there, or how many people do you know that have jobs that didn't exist when you were in high school? You're going to make someone pick a career path now for the rest of their life when they're 13, 14, 15 years old? Are you kidding me? This is why I wrote the piece, because I said, listen, people are going to make dumb decisions. Boards of education are going to make dumb decisions. School districts, schools are going to make dumb decisions. How are you going to get a good education regardless of their stupidity?
And that's where it is, right? You lay this out there. I mean, Johnny, jump in there. I can see you, man. You're bubbling.
So exciting. It's so exciting, too, because this young person wrote in and they emphasize that they hope to one day take part in projects that help the future. And I mean, this is exciting. This is inspiring because they're connecting, like, they're learning with helping the future, like with contributing to projects that help the future, which we know if we're going to do things differently in the future are likely to be different kinds of career pathways than we currently have sort of set up in trajectory. So this is a really exciting piece. And I love the response, Ethan, that you wrote, and maybe share more about that here. Like, so what,
well,
what?
No, so go with this. So, Ethan, I mean, you manage, as I said, you manage, though, to give her the advice she asks for, which is how to grow up and study parallel universes. But you do it in the way that you just said, which is, hold on, honey. Let's take some time and have an opportunity to explore, to nurture that brain that's growing. And do both at the same time. Here's what you need to do if you want to study parallel universe. Here was what you want to do if you want to nurture your brain. And you managed to show people how to do both of those things at the same time.
But look, some people know from a very young age, this is what I want to do. This is my ultimate goal. This is my dream. This is my ambition. This is what I want for my life. If you know that, that's an incredibly powerful thing to know, because most people don't. For most people out there, their job is just a job. It's the thing they do when they're at work to make money to live. It's not the thing that this is my driving passion that I went and pursued with all of my might because I had to learn it. I had to do it. I had to study it. I had to work in this. I had to contribute in this. If you are one of those people, you should have that path laid out. What are the prerequisites? What are the things I need to know, like the back of my hand, that I need to have under my belt so that I have the skills, I have the tools, I have the know-how to go approach this and say, I'm going to be a professional like this. I have all those foundational skills built in. So yeah, I'll tell you what you need to learn, how you can go and acquire them. But one of the things that I noticed when I was in graduate school and that I talked about, and like they were like, oh yeah, everyone knows this, is why Do so many of the best minds in theoretical physics come from the United States and nowhere else? Mm. Why is that? And the answer that I was best able to come up with is we specialized later than everyone else. Mm. Everyone else gets put on a career track of some type when they're still teenagers. In Europe, in Australia, in many other countries. In the United States, we say, no, high school, you're going to get a broad, high-quality general education. And then as an undergrad, still, we have this idea of a broad liberal arts education where, I don't know about you guys, I didn't just major in one thing when I was in college because there was more than one thing I was very interested in. And then even in graduate school, I was shocked when I went to grad school because I knew what I wanted to do. Most people didn't. And of the ones who did know, really know what they wanted to do, about half of them wound up doing something else anyway. So why, if we want to say, like, live up to your maximum potential, why would we cut people off when they try and broaden their horizons, when they try and learn how to use tools that maybe other people in that field, in that area, don't know how to use? That's what makes you special. We're all going to go into a field with our own unique toolkits based on our experience, the problems we've solved, everything we've done. Why would you shut your toolbox and say, no, 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 I don't need a screwdriver. I don't need a hammer. I'll do everything I need with just my socket wrench.
What do you think, though? Because I know this is out there. I know we have a listener or listeners that are out there going, but Tim, Johnny, Ethan, there are like these really, you know, I'm just going to situate myself just so you know, we're in the Appalachian region of Ohio. Intel is about to locate here. There's a sense of saying, you know, we need people to be, quote, career ready or workplace ready. Ethan, we need to give these students every opportunity to see the high skilled technological career paths in front of them. Are you saying we shouldn't be putting students to be exposed to all of these unique new emerging technologies that are presenting opportunities for kids here in Appalachia who might not have had any opportunity to do something like this in the future?
Well, I should ask them to turn it around on them. What are your goals for these kids? Is it that they're going to go to high school and maybe go to college and then go to work for Intel and that's their life? Or are these going to be people who maybe went and learned about what's the average tenure of an Intel employee? And maybe they went and saw, oh, geez, look at that. It's less than 5 years. Mm-hmm. Maybe when I'm thinking about a career or a life for myself, I need to not do what, honestly, people haven't done in two generations, which is I'm going to work at one job and work there for my whole life and get the gold watch at 25 years and retire and get my pension. That's not how jobs work anymore. Prepare the kids for reality.
For reality.
Not for your dream of what reality is.
That's what we do on Busted Pencils every week. Busted Pencils, our guest, our own astrophysicist, Ethan Siegel. When we get back, though, we're going to figure out how to study parallel universes. Busted Pencils, more after the break.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply.
You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education and occasionally talking parallel universes with our own, well, our borrowed astrophysicist, Dr. Ethan Siegel. He's got a piece in bigthink.com, starts with the bang. How can I grow up to study parallel universes? We've been talking, though. I mean, the reality here is that, well, there's a lot going on. We're kind of hitting this, you know. Is it too early to be putting students in a very defined career path? And Ethan and Johnny, I was going to say, I'm give the example. My son in sixth grade, now he's 23, begins his life actually coming up this week, moving, getting his own apartment, Traverse City, Michigan, graduated, you know, ecological restoration, outdoor education. But in sixth grade, we got called into the guidance counselor's office because he wasn't taking career readiness serious enough. And you know what he wanted to do in sixth grade? Play football professionally. And darn it, he just was messing things up. And Tim and Michelle, what are you going to do to help Luke get on a career path in sixth grade? And on top of that, the aptitude test that we gave him to help him try to figure out what he's good at, he blew it off. And it says that he's going to be a good chimney sweep. He's going to be a chimney sweep and a professional football player. You're screwing your son up for the rest of his life in sixth grade, Ethan.
I mean, what do you do with that? You say, oh, well, I'm just going to run for school board and change how we run school in your district because, you know, when we leave it in your hands, this is the crap you pull. Now, look, I had to do this when I was in middle school. We had to take a career aptitude test. Everyone had to. And I realized when I took this test, like, holy crap. First off, career aptitude is, this is totally not a robust scientific test. This is basically just saying like, oh, we took a look at your answers and we gave you a score and here's what you scored highest on and here are your top three scores and that's what you should have a career in. And if you listened to that when you were in middle school and you grew up to become one of those three things because you felt those were those only options, I'm blaming you. I'm blaming you for your sad, boring, miserable life because you listened to what a test told you when you were a preteen taking this. This is not a way to run a life. It's not a way to run a school. But the important thing for everyone out there is this is your life. This is your education. This is what you do with it. You talk about your son not being career ready at age 11. My best friend wasn't career ready when he was in his late teens and early 20s and starting a career. He wasn't career ready at all. He bounced around many different jobs. He was in and out of college. You know, what do you think? You look at that, you're like, oh, you're going to be screwed up the rest of your life. No, he's a successful adult. He's got a job. He's got a career. But he had to come to it in his own time, and he had to learn his own things first. The career I have now as a science communicator on the internet, you think that existed back in the 1990s when I was in junior high and high school? No, the internet barely existed back then. How are we going to know that? So keep your mind open. But most importantly, when you're a student in a public school and the administration or the staff or the district or the state or the government or whatever, they're telling you, like, here are all these things you have to do. You're going to do them or not. But at the end of the day, nobody cares what you're certified to do. They care about, can you do it? And can you do a good job at it? And if the answer is yes, and you get your foot in the door and we give you a chance, you'll have a chance to prove yourself. And if the answer is no, you can't do it, then it doesn't matter who said you could do it and who can't. Like, that's not the stuff that matters. Don't let oh, you got to pick a career path according to this school district in Texas dictate, like, and that's going to be your career. No, It's on you. Figure out what you want to learn. One of the big things I went through in this piece that I think is super important is this difference between a dream and a goal.
Thank you. I wanted you to hit that.
For your life. Such a big idea. A goal is an achievable thing. A dream is something you hope for and you hope some external power is going to make it happen for you. But a goal is something that you can take concrete steps to make happen for yourself. And that's why I thought it was really important. If you want to grow up to study parallel universes, here's that path. Here are those stepping stones. Here's what you need to learn as the sort of minimum to go off and do this. But then I went and said further, but don't restrict yourself to that, because you want that unique toolkit. You want that experience doing things that other people can't. You want to know, how do I do experiments? How do I do theory? How do I do simulations? You want to know those different aspects and different corners of it. So go ahead and look into those things, right? There's nothing wrong with exploring and then saying, now that I've explored, now I'm ready to apply myself where it counts, right? The whole thing counts. You just don't realize how.
And I think that's the, you know, again, it's, you know, check out Ask Ethan, bigthink.com starts with a bang. The piece is, how can I grow up to study parallel universes? Also going to use this last here as a minute and a half. We're going to have Ethan on for the extended pod that should be out at the end of this week. We're going to really dig into this. But Ethan, you know, what you do here too, though, what sounds like, you know, parallel universe, very narrow study in that sense. But the way to get to this very narrow study, though, you demonstrate the broadness that it requires to get to that kind of focus. And the reality is that by staying broad early on, learning lots of physics, learning lots of mathematics, the only way you get to be that defined in parallel universes is because you have to have broad, deep understandings of lots of things to bring you to that kind of final place. Ethan, 30 seconds there.
You know, and I'll tell you for that last bit, you know, I would say the big important thing for any young person is build yourself a strong and broad foundation. Build yourself a strong and broad educational foundation, because that's what you're going to build your entire future on. If I had decided, oh, I'm going to be a narrow specialized thing, it's like building a building. How big can you build a needle? Right. Well, that depends on how strong and how broad your foundation is. You can build a tire needle with a broader, stronger foundation. So in terms of education, do that too. Math, physics, science, art, education, history, English communication, all of it. It counts.
Education. Educated educators talking education and astrophysics and parallel universes.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. Utter chaos after the massive earthquake in Morocco.
Everyone was running out of their flats, running down the stairs. Lots of panic. People screaming, shouting, screaming for their families. Ladies screaming for their kids. Where's my son? Where's my daughter?
The death toll right now is just over 2,000 people, expected to grow even more. A military band welcomed President Biden to the presidential palace in Hanoi, Vietnam. He'll spend 24 hours there at the invitation of the Vietnamese communist chief. They'll work to strengthen relations between the two countries. Lee is now a Category 2 hurricane, but could pick up strength. Which areas will be impacted the very most?
Along the East Coast, we are expecting dangerous surf and rip currents beginning soon and continuing through the week as Lee grows in size.
That's Lisa Bucci with the National Hurricane Center. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
We grow more than weeds here on Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. How can I grow up to study parallel universes? What a great question from a student on Ask Ethan, our guest last part of the show. Ethan Siegel starts with a bang, astrophysicist, takes that, puts that into a, hold on, more than just answering the question. There's a lot going on here. However, Mark, you have been awesome holding on. We knew we only had Ethan for the first half of the show, so we wanted to keep you. Mark, in the sack, what's happening, Mark?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. What brought this question to mind again today is another article about that little computer that they found that the ancient Greeks had made up out of bronze. And it was a celestial computer that, you know, mm-hmm. did things mechanically. But it brought to mind the question I had. Did the Greeks come up with a lot of their mathematics to explain their theory of the cosmos, which was at one point in time was a geocentric theory of, you know, that so did it take more advanced mathematics to explain a geocentric universe rather than a heliocentric, you know, universe is what they saw at that point in time. Of course, it's far more vast and complicated than that. But I kind of wondered, did they come up with a more complex math? Does it take more complex math to explain a geocentric universe with planets moving in retrograde and along that line. And I thought that'd be a question to ask.
Ethan.
That'd be a question to ask to him.
Yeah, that would be great. You know what, Mark? You know what? You can go to AskEthan@BigThink.com and starts with a bang and actually put that, because I'm pretty sure that between Johnny, me, and Anya, that explaining the advanced mathematics between a geocentric and a heliocentric Earth might be above our pay grade. Johnny and Anya, I'm looking at you guys.
My film major isn't going to help out here, gentlemen. I'm really sorry.
But think that, Johnny, let's use that, what Mark's talking about, right? Right. To be able to ask that bigger question, you kind of made this conversation point in during the break. You know, Ethan points out something very important in the sense of reminding us that the most theoretical physicists come out of the United States and makes that point. Refine that for me a little bit.
I mean, well, I just really loved Ethan sharing that point. And I think one of the really cool things about one of the big points that Ethan puts out there in his article, but also is making the center of his response to this young person's question of like, hey, I would like to contribute to changing the world. I would like for there to be better futures, for whether it's like it's kind of central to her question. And her interest in that as a programmer, and said, I'm also interested, in parallel universe theories, which is interesting. But the idea is that we have specializations, right? This gets back to like Mark's question and point too, is we have specializations that without a really diverse foundation, it's really hard to think about how people outside of our specializations might think of what we do. And it makes for some distance between those highly specialized intellectuals. And I put some scare quotes around intellectuals because I use that, like the people with expertise can sometimes be different than how the behaviors or cultures of intellectuals act. And so specialized expertise and our culture has sort of siloed out and is really difficult for us to think about how do we do community together and share expertise from particular scientists who have really important information, especially when we're talking about like things as important as what are we doing for our future in terms of climate change, in terms of understanding, the warming of the ocean and these different factors that science has been saying a lot to us about through different specialized languages for decades, if not longer, right? And so that's me being generous with about how much we've not been able to listen. And so it's really exciting when we think about someone like Ethan's response being, we need to make sure we stay really well-rounded, that we both study mathematics and mathematical concepts and our science courses. We also complement and balance those with, our literature courses and our film studies and our art classes and our music interests and our music courses and our extracurricular activities. And Ethan, man, he goes into what sometimes is taboo for nerd world. He goes and says, you should have an athletic thing that you're part of. And this is, I'm excited about this because it's really true. And he says, you don't have to be really good at it.
Right.
You just have to try and you have to be engaged. And what we know as teachers is this is helping us develop our learners, both in movement and kinesthetics and, and in their listening. So auditory learning and all of these kinds of things help us to be broader, which sets us up to be able to go really deep with amazing foundation and flexibility in that depth. Because what we know, Tim, we're not even that old, but we're kind of old. What we know is that things have changed pretty radically in just even the last 15, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
In science, in diverse histories, we learn that, hey, I have to sort of unlearn some stuff I learned. That flexibility, when you have a broad foundation, when you've been in maybe improv music, or having to call an audible as a quarterback or have to change from a zone to a man in, you know, basketball. These kinds of flexibilities on the fly, we don't always learn when we're narrowly focused on maybe solving math problems only. Mm-hmm. And in fact, those strengths we gain in those other ways, I'm speaking as someone with mathematical training, make us a better mathematician, right? It's like when you are, people who know this at a high level, and Ethan talked about grad school, not that that should be the goal, but when you think about testing into grad schools and how people score on some of those tests that place us into, you know, what grad programs we qualify for and whatnot, a broader education sets you up better for those tests than being the best. And you could get 100% on your math portion and not do well on your other portions, which look at, you know, your analysis of literature, your ability to write, to think divergently in different ways. And those things make your score balance out. So you need to be well-rounded and go deep. And that doesn't happen if we track young people at an early age, right?
And think about Ethan
warns us of that.
It warns us, and you know, I put this in the notes because I didn't want to lose this. So it's what you're thinking here, Johnny, and talking about, you know, the broadness, and you know, going back to Ethan and the parallel universes, though, too. You think about why the broadness, you know, I look at this idea of the concept of parallel universes, which, as you say, it can be really geeky or something like that. But the ability to have an imagination to even think about the potential of saying another possibility of what's happening right now is potentially happening somewhere else right now, right? I mean, here we get a little geeky on the idea of truly parallel universes, which again is a scientific, theoretical kind of way of saying, you know, when you get into the quantum mechanics, the possibilities of things happening. But then, you know, you could get too focused in truly saying, well, here's what it means to have a parallel universe. But this is, I'm going to throw my geek in there. Some of my best and favorite Star Trek episodes engage the role of imagination deeply because they take that concept of science in a parallel universe and put it into an imaginative story. And here you look at and say, so here's that concept of something really theoretical, you know, parallel universes, but to bring it alive, it takes that imagination to put it in that fiction. And so, Johnny, I think, you know, we're making the case for saying it's that ability to imagine that allows the possibilities of new theories and new ways of understanding the world. And so I think about the student who asked Ethan, because as you keep pointing out, she wanted to do something great for the future. If you can't imagine possibilities, it's kind of makes it tough to imagine a better future, because that's the idea. If I want to make something better for the future, I want to have imagination. And so, you know, again, I think, you know, Ethan's piece here is brilliant. It's, you know, bigthink.com starts with a bang. Ask Ethan, how can I grow up to study parallel universes? Because he answers that question. He very much does. But it then gives us a really great kind of kick in the butt education about going, what are we really doing in schools when we are potentially narrowing kids into a focused career path when the world in front of them is probably anything other than focused? You think about that, right? The idea of focusing and realizing that, boy, working for 35 years for U.S. Steel, that ain't happening anymore. And so if you can't imagine something beyond a career, think about that too. It's like I think of my son's sixth grade, seventh and eighth grade. The careers that have already emerged in his short 8 years from finishing high school and going to college, that had he identified his career path in sixth grade, it might have been a career that isn't even available anymore. You know, thinking about that artificial intelligence and how that's working. Anya, though, you add, you know, kind of that young person take on this. Give us a little sense of where you were going with this.
Hi again, it's me, the youth correspondent. Yeah, I was asked twice in my public school, time to have a career meeting, once in sixth grade and once in ninth grade. And in sixth grade, they let you say, what are the three things you wanted to be when you grow up? And I was like, an actress, a rock star, or like a ragamuffin. Those are your options. And my career counselor was so mad about this. I was a sixth grader with a career counselor. And in ninth grade, when I took the aptitude test, do you guys have any guesses? It gave me three things I could possibly be. Any guesses?
Radio producer extraordinaire.
Absolutely not. It said the best options for you are you could be a bank teller. I can't do math. You could be a nurse. I can't do math. I don't like blood. Or you could go into the military, which is such a, like, the idea of anyone looking me as a real human up and down and saying that was hilarious. But this algorithm that it asked me, like, do you like nights or mornings more? And I was like, I like nights. And they're like, cool, go do boot camp. Like,
yeah,
how was that ever supposed to be helpful? And it gave me a crisis for years about, like, who am I supposed to be? I went into college, you know, having always wanted to be in the arts. I went into college as an international affairs major thinking I was going to be a U.S. diplomat. I'm now a film major with a double minor in journalism and Jewish studies working in radio. That makes way more sense. But why subject our kids to this? You know, it's a lot.
It's a lot there. And you point that out. It's like, wow, you know, and kind of the limit and where you went and where you're still going. I think about this too, where Ethan was out there, you know, career paths. And I don't know, people think this is funny, but I'm doing what I love currently right now. But I honestly can say I'm not sure I'm doing what I want to do when I grow up yet. With Johnny, right? Like, I'm not sure this is what I want to do when I grow up. And people are like, Tim, it's too late. You're past grown up. Johnny, we're coming up here on the minute before the next break, but I see you, you're like, wait a minute, Tim.
Well, I think Ethan brings up another really important point we can loop back into on the last part of the segment. But he talks about a crisis isn't necessarily a bad thing.
No,
I'm gonna come back to that in the next part, because I think we all have moments in our life where we need to have flexibility and stability. And that doesn't mean always doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think Anya laid that out there, potentially the crisis that was there. It's busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Oh, I want to study parallel universes. Or I want a career in sweeping chimneys. Or when we get back, busted pencils back after the break.
children you reject and disregard. These aching cries come from the bottom of our hearts.
From the bottom of our hearts, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, studying parallel universes, career counseling. They go together. Caller Jack, Jack from Chicago calling in. Jack, what's happening?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, man. What's up?
I'm good. I can hear you guys all the way through the commercial break. I heard your call screener and everything. Anyway, I wanted to make a short and probably lame point about the whole business alias thing. I work for a small business, and it wasn't put as bluntly as I would have liked to hear it. Small businesses and companies use different addresses and different names and email for a multitude of reasons, usually for tax purposes, and it's just a thing that exists, and it's not a smoking gun. It's just something that small companies, like, I'm literally the only employee of the company I work for. It's an old man who employs me, and he makes maybe $500,000 in sales a year, and even we, as that small of a business here in Chicago, have stuff that looks like that. It's just the way it kind of works.
Interesting. Jack, appreciate the call. I think we might be on a little bit of a different topic than parallel universes. Johnny, but thinking about, coming back, you were saying this, and Anya kind of hit it in the last segment there. What she wanted to do, where she got a crisis. And Ethan points that out in this piece here about, there's nothing wrong with a crisis. You were expanding on that during the break.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, I think it hits home at the end of this. And you had said, like, at a certain age, we're, like, still, like, hey, when I grow up, I want to be this. Because we've, learned our whole life that you get to pick one thing and be it. And that couldn't be further from the truth, right? And what we know is, especially with changing times that we're in, that being prepared to, I cringe at this word sometimes, but to pivot, right? But to be able to be flexible and think about a multitude of possibilities of things that you enjoy, that bring joy to you, that you're good at, that you can contribute to the better common good of our economy, our community. All of these things are interrelated, and nobody is locked into doing just one thing. And that's a strength. Maybe you do one thing and you love it, and you do it for most of your working years, and it's passion and it works out. And a lot of people's worlds, things change. The industry changes, the technology changes, the craft changes, the game changes, all of these things, whether you're an athlete, a musician, a skilled trade worker, all the industries are constantly changing. And some change radically to where they're phased out or into totally new fields. And the people with the widest, broadest foundations, flexibility, whether it changes, they roll through, they become, a new part or a facet of things, and they flex with that. And so Ethan leaves us in his piece with, crisis is something we've sort of always associated with being bad, but they're impossible to avoid sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
When we're faced with them, it's our ability to navigate the crisis, right, to troubleshoot it and to learn from it and to do differently. And we're set up to do that better. And I love this from Ethan. And Ethan is a patriot, a different kind than the New England Patriots, the football team, a different kind than the Patriots, who self-claim love this country enough to attack it. But I'm saying Ethan is a patriot because he's a defender of democracy. The way that he says, the strength of this country's education system has been that it gives you a wide range of skill sets, of disciplinary skills that allows for you to learn about music, even though you might not become a professional musician, to practice theater, even though you might not become an actor or an actress, to have art classes, even though you might not be a professional painter. to have this in our early foundation years, all the way into our college careers, sets us up to go deep in a topic area really well, and to bring different lenses and skill sets to that depth that makes products of our education system oftentimes better than the other places. And we're so often saying, critiquing our education system from the opposite perspective, like we need to be more career ready earlier.
Right.
We have the opposite.
Thank you,
Ethan, for being a patriot. Thank you, Ethan, for sharing science with us in language that we can digest and share. And, you know, I appreciate his contributions, but, you know, his conversation here tonight and our call. I wish I knew what Jack was calling about. So Jack, if you're a listener, call us in a future show, or you know, get us a message on Facebook or on one of the mediums, and you know, we can better understand, because I couldn't follow where the alias was.
Or but text us through our app. We have an app.
Text us through the Civic Media app. Check it out. You know, Johnny, the way you brought that back though, too, the broad goals of universal public education, democracy, patriotism, and recognizing, you know, Ethan's patriotism by pointing out the importance of an American public education system that does have its foundational roots in this broadness, this idea that to be an educated citizen, an educated, not just educated educator who talks education, but an educated citizen requires more than a career focus. A career focus is absolutely something we want to do, but it's more than, and that more than, when we talk about public education and its importance in this future of building a future where people can imagine a better future, my goodness, we're talking about public education in this country, the kind my neighbor knows that they want those kids in their communities to attend. That's what we're talking about, Johnny. You brought it home in a way right there that just landed. I can see Anya's in agreement. We're all in agreement here on Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, back next week.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils, or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.